Jesus gives me cause for great joy. I love to laugh. I love to brag about Christ. I think when you come into church, it ought to be a place where you feel like you can be yourself and enjoy the company of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Why don't you stand with me, please? This is Palm Sunday. This is a record of it. In Matthew 21, in verse 1 says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he shall send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, and these are days of celebration. This is Holy Week and Palm Sunday and next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And Lord, these are good days for the church. They're life-changing days. They're days that we never want to forget. And we, hopefully by God's grace, we never will. So this morning, as we look into this historical account, I pray that you would help us to apply its truth to our personal lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is Palm Sunday. As you heard me mention in my prayer, it's known as Holy Week on the Christian calendar. Just to give you a little bit of a history lesson of what happened in this week, Charles Ryrie gives an overview of the days of the week, and I'll give them to you quickly. On Sunday, of course, was his triumphal entry, what the kids just sang about this morning, what we know as Palm Sunday. On Monday was the cursing of the fig tree and the cleansing of the temple. On Tuesday, he debates with the religious leaders. He has the Olivet Discourse, and it is believed that on Tuesday was the day that Judas made the bargain with the leaders of the day to betray Jesus. On Wednesday, there are no recorded events. Possibly Jesus was at Bethany. On Thursday was the Last Supper. On Thursday was the Upper Room Discourse. And on Thursday/Friday was the Garden of Gethsemane. On Friday, Jesus is betrayed and arrested, and he goes to trial. In those trials, he's brought before Annas, Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, Herod, and back to Pilate, where Pilate washed his hands of the situation, which, by the way, cannot be done. On Friday was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And of course, the seven sayings that he said from the cross that is in another message. Friday, Jesus is buried. But I wrote in parentheses, I'd like to add, but don't worry, Sunday's coming. So those are the events of the week that we know as Holy Week. And obviously, Palm Sunday, you saw the kids come in and they've got their palm branches that they're waving. And we have this occasion that we read about in our opening text this morning of Jesus riding on this small donkey, walking through. And they're waving palm branches and they're throwing down their clothes and they're giving him a surface to walk on. And all of the affair, if you will, the parade that took place would have been quite a spectacle. And if you could see the topography of the land and where he was, he would have been able to be seen from quite a distance, which I'd like to say this is, if you will, it's out of character in the ministry of Jesus, because though he was doing incredible things, feeding the 5,000, of course, and healing and making blind eyes see, and all of those things were never done for his personal recognition. They were done to fulfill God's plan for his life, to show the power that he possessed, but none of it was ever, look at me, look at me, look at me. On this day, though, on Palm Sunday, coming in, it was very much a public spectacle where he wanted to be seen. He wanted the world to see what he was doing, and obviously, he was fulfilling prophecy, but some history on the use of palm branches in a celebration. From 400 BC, 400 years before Christ, and onward, a palm branch was awarded to the victor in athletic contests. And the practice was brought to Rome around 293 BC. The palm became so closely associated with victory in ancient Rome culture that the Latin word palma could be used as a synonym for victory and was a sign of any kind of victory. When a rider came in on a white horse, he was seen as a victor in battle, and obviously a conquering soldier, or possibly the new leader of the territory. Your economy, your people could have been overthrown. He was coming in a victory parade, and you could be looking at that man riding in on a white horse as your new sovereign and king. It's possible in those days. When a rider came in on a donkey, though, he was seen as a man of peace. So we have this spectacle this morning of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and he was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Prophesied 400 in Zechariah 9:9 is written 487 years before this occasion. You and I can't relate to that time frame. And you have to wonder if Zechariah, as he's writing this prophecy, if he even understands what he's writing as it's being told to him by the Holy Spirit. I don't know. We can ask him when we see him. Matthew included this in his gospel to illustrate that Jesus was indeed the King of Kings. There would have been the reaction from four different groups of people. If you will, if you go to parades at all, if you look around, and I am a people watcher. And I've confessed to this in the past, but you smile at me because most people are people watchers. And I've noticed that God likes them in all shapes and sizes. He loves variety. And so it's fun to watch people. We were away this past week, and we were sitting in an airport. And one of the things about traveling is you sit in an airport. And then when you're tired of doing that, you sit in an airport. And then after a while, you just go ahead and decide to sit in an airport, because there's no such thing as an uneventful flight. And our flight was delayed. And so we're sitting there, and this as I was observing people, this lady walks up, and she's got a dog. And I asked her if her dog traveled well and different things. And so I did not hear her say it, but my wife says, she looked at me and she said, "You talked over her." I didn't talk over her. I didn't see her talking, okay? I did not talk over her. I love people. I would never talk over her. So anyway, she says I talked over her. I didn't think I did. Possibly, but no, that's not. Anyway, so she looks at me, and so my wife said, she looked at me. She said, Emily, watching people, said, that woman had been staring at you for a long time. Finally, she comes up to me, and she said, "I like your TV show." And I'm thinking, who does she think I am? So I don't know. I don't think she knew who I was. I don't think it's garage talk. I don't think it's possible. But anyway, this woman in Florida, I thought she thought I was wearing glasses, and I had a sport coat on. I think she thought I was Tim Allen. You know? Yes. Anyway. So, yeah. It's my dream. I'll make it what I want, you know? So, anyway. So if we were at the parade, if you will, if we were at Palm Sunday, and if we were looking at the groups of people there, I believe there were four groups. Number one would have been the Jews. They see the significance of Jesus doing what he was doing, clearly making a statement that he was indeed the king and causing all eyes to see him on that day. The Jews hollered, "Hosanna," which literally means "save us now." Save us now. Because remember, they're under the thumb of Roman rule. And they want someone to come in and rescue them from the oppression they're experiencing. Christian, American, you don't know what it's like not to live free. We just take that feeling for granted. But I'll tell you, there is a time coming, very possibly, where you will experience what it's like not to live free. It's by God's grace America has what she has, and we do not deserve the blessings that we are getting at this point. So it would have been the Jews, "Save us now." The Pharisees would be another group. The priests would be another group. And of course, the Roman soldiers. The Pharisees were watching and would have seen Jesus as a threat to their power structure. If you follow politics at all, if you were, the Pharisees were the deep state of the day. Supposedly, they represented the religious people that was supposed to be showing them the truth and pointing them to the Messiah. But the fact is, if they recognized Jesus as being the one and they lost their position and power, they weren't interested. So the Pharisees were concerned. The priests of the day, the religious leaders, if you will, the church leaders that we would define them as today, the priests, not with the Pharisees, another group of religious people, they were the ones that led the synagogue and conducted the services. And I'm thinking that they would have been a serious, pious, legalistic group, if you will. How could this man allow these people to be making such a commotion on an occasion as serious as the Passover? This should not be allowed. And remember, they hollered, "Don't let them talk like this. Tell them to keep quiet." And Jesus said, if they kept quiet, the rocks would cry out. So obviously, I don't know if you've ever been in it or not, but there are certain congregations, certain groups, where when you walk into the sanctuary in the auditorium, this is the sanctuary, this is the auditorium, and I'm telling you, Quaker's meeting has begun. No more laughing, no more fun. If you show your teeth or tongue, you're going to have to pay a forfeit, because this is holy place. You know, I understand where they're coming from on that, but I'm telling you, I think that Jesus gives me cause for great joy. I love to laugh. I love to brag about Christ. I think when you come into church, it ought to be a place where you feel like you can be yourself and enjoy the company of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just don't think it's a time to be real quiet. I think it's a time of celebration. You want to shout, you want to sing, you want to laugh. Sometimes you want to cry. But whatever it is, sometimes it's just not this solemn, holy, holy, holy process. And I think the priests were looking at that and thinking, oh, this isn't right. We can't have that. Oh. They're trying to crack down on that. Somebody needs to speak to these people. So we had the Jews, we had the Pharisees, we had the priests, and we had the Roman soldiers. I wondered if they thought, is this the beginning of an insurrection? Should we be concerned that there will be a riot or a rebellion? Of course, the Jews would have known the significance of a donkey versus a horse. But I don't know if the Romans would have caught that or not. So the Jews saw him as a conqueror they had been waiting for. The Pharisees saw him as a problem to be eliminated. The priests dealt with him as being someone that was sacrilegious, or at least his followers, and the Romans were wondering if he was a threat to the Republic. You know, Jesus recognized that people didn't always get him. Do you ever feel like sometimes people don't get you? Yeah, I know I do. And there's just a million stories I could tell that would illustrate that. But sometimes if you have a feeling that people don't get you, I truly believe that Jesus didn't think that. One thing, you and I have thoughts, Jesus would have always known. See, that he didn't guess about anything. But In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 17, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Don't miss this right here. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's an incredible statement to me, because here's the disciples personally walking, talking, seeing, being taught by Jesus Christ himself. And you would think if anybody had told someone who Jesus was, it would have been the disciples hearing it from Jesus himself. But Jesus said, no, I didn't tell you that. I want you to know you heard that from my heavenly Father. Don't miss that. There's always been various opinions of who Jesus Christ is. A good man, a prophet, an illegitimate child of a Roman soldier, and the list goes on. What is amazing to me is that if you know who he is, in this audience this morning, if you know who Jesus Christ truly is, then Stan Griffin didn't tell you, Mark Arnold didn't tell you, George Markham didn't tell you, any name in this room, the President of the United States did not tell you. I'm telling you, if you truly know who Jesus Christ is, it's because God himself spoke to you. How awesome is that? Verses, have you ever heard from God? Well, when I got saved, I heard from God. Now you can say, well, Stan, what's God's voice sound like? Well, it doesn't really sound like Charlton Heston or anything like that. To be honest with you, I have never heard audibly God's voice, but I've sensed him. And I think you can relate to this if you, and I'm sure that you can, but let me explain it to you like this. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me." In other words, I'll come in and I'll have a relationship with you. We'll have a meal together. We don't just have a meal together. Once Christ comes into your heart as your personal Savior, you don't just have a meal together. You walk, you talk, you eat, you sleep, you drink. Once I trusted Christ as my Savior, I have never been without him. So, remember, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I've noticed in today's society, and maybe you have too, we get a lot of deliveries at our house. I need to take the credit cards away from my wife, but that's another message altogether, okay? But she likes to get stuff, and nowadays, things, they just bring it to your house. How convenient, you know? Well, if we don't get deliveries, well, maybe we do get deliveries every day. We get deliveries, okay? So when they come, a lot of times the UPS guy, the FedEx guy, the mailman, all of them, they'll come, they'll knock on the door. And they're not knocking because they want someone to come. They'd rap on the door, just letting you know I've left something at the step. So you knock on the door. Do we go to the door? No, not interested. Something's always coming. You would think there'd be some, ooh, what is this now? Usually photocopy paper, bills, coffee supplies, it's stuff. It is, folks, it's not exciting. You don't run to the door. So what happens is a lot of times the knock will happen at the door. Once in a while, on occasion, it'll actually be somebody that's there that wants somebody to come to the door, which we totally miss that altogether, you know, and so they'll knock again and someone will, is somebody going to go to the door? Nobody wants to go, you know? No, we're not that curious. Now, I'm sorry. If you come to our house, you're more than welcome to come, and you can knock on the door, and eventually someone will come to the door, and we will be glad to see you, okay? I'm not making this up, but the fact is this, is that I've said that stupid story, to, I'm not supposed, my wife says don't use stupid, but I was talking about me. So I've shared that revelation with you. For you to think, there's a good chance the first time Christ knocked at your heart's door, you didn't come to the door. We ignored it. We talked about someone in, but when we were taking prayer requests this morning before Sunday school, that someone has a heart condition. He was going through a heart attack and they were ignoring the signs. I would be guilty of that. Okay? They were ignoring the signs. So when Christ knocks at your heart's door and you don't come to the door, Jesus doesn't say, all right, they're not home, I'm not going to stay. No, Jesus says, I need to get their attention. And so he uses different circumstances, different things in your life to get your attention. Sometimes it's your husband, sometimes it's your wife. Sometimes it's different circumstances that you're going through. It could be your health. It could be your wealth. It could be a family member. It could be a work. It could be whatever he could do to get your attention. And sometimes those events in your life to get your attention, if you don't know Christ, I want you to know something, and don't miss this. God is not some meanie that's trying to destroy your temporary life. He is a loving heavenly Father that's trying to get your attention so you don't destroy your eternal life. There's a big difference. Whatever happens to us on this side of eternity would be absolutely nothing if it brings us to a relationship with Jesus Christ so that when we leave this life, we go on to be forever with Him. And I'm telling you, cancer, death, loss of a loved one, financial shipwreck, divorce, I really don't care. You fill in the blank. But if it brings you to Jesus Christ, it's the greatest event that could possibly happen to you. And so on this day, as he's coming in and he's trying to get our attention, the question is asked, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Good man, someone that knew how to ride on an untamed donkey. Whatever, you fill in the blank. But I'll tell you what, I found him to be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Not only it's another message that we preached on Palm Sunday, but this isn't just Palm Sunday, this is Lamb Selection Day. And really, he was coming in, presenting himself as the Lamb of God that was going to take care of the sins of the world. And if you know who Jesus Christ is, or if he's knocking on your heart's door this morning, and you're willing to open the door and let him in, I'm telling you, that would be the greatest revelation you have ever heard from. Not only that, that's not Stan Griffin talking to you. That's God Almighty speaking to you. Now, how great is that? Who do you say that Jesus is? And your answer will determine your eternity.